and she wasn't good on chalk. A wandering witch likes firm ground under her, not a rock so soft you could cut it with a knife.
Impressive, said the voice. She used her brother as bait.
Amazing, wasn't it? Said Miss Tick. Such quick thinking.
Oh, no.
She stopped running and leaned against a field wall as a wave of dizziness hit her.
What happening? What happening? Said the voice from the hat. I nearly fell off.
It's this wretched chalk. I can feel it already. I can do magic on honest soil, and rock is always fine, and I'm not too bad on clay even, but chalk's neither one thing nor the other. I'm very sensitive to geology, you know.
What are you trying to tell me? Said the voice.
Chalk is a hungry soil. I don't really have much power on chalk. The owner of the voice, who was hidden, said, Are you going to fall over?
No, no. It's just the magic that doesn't work.
Miss Tick did not look like a witch. Most witches don't, at least the ones who wander from place to place. Looking like a witch can be dangerous when you walk among the uneducated. And for that reason, she didn't wear any occult jewellery, or have a glowing magical knife, or a silver goblet with a pattern of skulls all around it, or carry a broomstick with sparks coming out of it, all of which are tiny hints that there may be a witch around. Her pockets never carried anything more magical than a few twigs, maybe a piece of string, a coin or two, and, of course, a lucky charm. Everyone in the country carried lucky charms, and Miss Tick had worked out that if you didn't have one, people would suspect that you were a witch. You had to be a bit cunning to be a witch. Miss Tick did have a pointy hat, but it was a stealth hat, and only pointed when she wanted it to. The only thing in her bag that might have made anyone suspicious was a very small, grubby booklet entitled An Introduction to Escapology by the Great Williamson. If one of the risks of your job is being thrown into a pond with your hands tied together, then the ability to swim 30 yards underwater, fully clothed, plus the ability to lurk under the weeds breathing air through a hollow reed, counts as nothing if you aren't also amazingly good with knots.
You can't do magic here, said the voice in the hat.
No, I can't, said Miss Tick. She looked up at the sounds of jingling. A strange procession was coming up the white road. It was mostly made up of donkeys pulling small carts with brightly painted covers on them. People walked alongside the carts, dusty to the waist. They were mostly men. They wore bright robes, or robes, at least, that had been bright before being trailed through mud and dust for years, and every one of them wore a strange black square hat.
Miss Tick smiled.
They looked like tinkers, but there wasn't one amongst them she knew who could mend a kettle. What they did was sell invisible things. And after they'd sold what they had, they still had it. They sold what everyone needed, but often didn't want. They sold the key to the universe to people who didn't even know it was locked.
I can't do, said Miss Tick, straightening up, but I can teach.
Tiffany worked for the rest of the morning in the dairy. There was cheese that needed doing. There was bread and jam for lunch. Her mother said, The teachers are coming to town today. You can go if you've done your chores. Tiffany agreed that, yes, there were one or two things she'd quite like to know more about. Then you can have half a dozen carrots and an egg. I dare say they could do with an egg, poor things, said her mother. Tiffany took them with her after lunch and went to get an egg's worth of education. Most boys in the village grew up to do the same jobs as their fathers, or at least some other job somewhere in the village where someone's father would teach them as they went along. The girls were expected to grow up and be somebody's wife. They were also expected to be able to read and write, those being considered soft indoor jobs that were too fiddly for the boys. However, everyone also felt that there were a few other things that even the boys ought to know, to stop them wasting time wondering about details like what's on the other side of the mountains, and how come rain falls out of the sky. Every family in the village bought a copy of the almanac every year, and a sort of education came from that. It was big and thick and printed somewhere far off, and it had lots of details about things like phases of the moon and the right time to plant beans. It also contained a few prophecies about the coming year, and mentioned faraway places with names like Klatch and Hersheba. Tiffany had seen a picture of Klatch in the almanac. It showed a camel standing in a desert. She'd only found out what both these things were because her mother had told her. And that was Klatch, a camel, in a desert. She'd wondered if there wasn't a bit more to it, but it seemed that Clatch